Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is Lewis Fine, and we have another great show for you today with Kevin Guz of Homevestors Dallas. He's going to be talking today about the ways in which you can determine if you are a passive or active investor, because that distinction will influence many other decisions you make as a real estate investor with regard to the homes you review and purchase, the renovations you make, and the money you earn based on the investments you make. All of these things, or the answers to them, are important because they are two distinct classes of investors with two very different goals. So with that having been said, let me bring Kevin on the program. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you, Lewis.
So let's dive right into this. There are active investors and there are passive investors. How do you determine if you're an active or a passive investor?
Well, you know, maybe the best way to identify where you as a real estate investor fit into these two buckets is to draw a parallel with the more common form of investment today that many people are engaged in, the obvious stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. If we draw a parallel to those types of investors, you could say there's probably, when it all boils down to it, there's probably two types of investors who invest in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. And as you alluded to in the introduction, they could probably be categorized as passive or active. And passive investors in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds, they may be those who are looking for long-term gains, very low risk, steady earnings, steady appreciation. You know, these people may be saving for retirement or for some long, maybe even a college education for a child. And these people may choose to invest in, let's say, blue chip stocks, you know, big stable companies like IBM or Coke or Pepsi, companies who generate a pretty good return over time and a nice steady dividend even perhaps, not a lot of risk, not a lot of overnight wealth, but a pretty good source of long-term growth and earnings. Those are the passive investors. Let's draw a parallel then to what an active investor is in terms of what we're all familiar with, stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. An active investor of this type, they may be, let's say, somebody who is very focused, very engaged, even on a daily or hourly basis. Maybe they're heavily engaged in watching and investing in IPOs. They know exactly what new businesses are going to hit the market, when they need to get in, and they're closely watching when they need to go out. And this may be very short term. You know, they may get in the morning, and they may be out by the ring of the bell that afternoon as Wall Street closes. This would be a very active investor, not so much focused on long-term gains, very short-term gains, maybe a higher risk, and not so concerned about, you know, the long-term income in the form of dividends, but more so concerned about short-term gains in the form of immediate gains. And you know, this may also be equated to, you know, the day traders who have been popular over time, in and out of popularity based on the market, but day traders are very, very much so an active investor. Well, these two types of investors in the traditional stock market, passive and active, very much represented in the real estate investment sector. So let's now draw the parallel to, okay, what's a passive investor look like and what's an active investor look like when it comes to real estate? A passive investor in real estate, they're going to be someone just like that passive investor in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. They're going to buy something, a house. They're going to hold it, and they're going to look for long-term gains. This could come in a lot of forms, and maybe it's going to come in appreciation on that real estate asset. Buy a house for $100,000, hold on to it for 10 years, and maybe it's worth $125,000. Long-term equity gains, much like a blue chip stock would do for you over time. a passive investor in real estate is also one who likes cash flow. That's a monthly income that comes off of that property, that that property generates. And it's typically generated as a result of the difference between the rent on that property and the expenses on that property, the mortgage, the insurance, the taxes, and the maintenance. So they may enjoy that cash flow. And if you step back to our passive real estate investor, you could equate that real estate investment cash flow to the dividends that a passive stock investor would be excited about, or that would appeal to them. So you can see a lot of similarities between a passive real estate investor and their long-term wealth focus, long-term gains, periodic income. Very similar to that of a passive stock investor. And then on the active real estate investor, which you may be, and it's also very profitable, just like the passive real estate investor, that active real estate investor, if you're one of those, you're going to be excited about short-term gains. You're not so interested in the long-term buy and hold or the long-term buying and leasing of properties with, you know, slow gains from equity and long-term cash flow. If you're an active real estate investor, you're going to get excited about buying low, fixing, and selling high, so to speak, to borrow some terminology from the stock market world of investing. Active real estate investors, they're looking for a great deal. They're looking to quickly purchase it. They're looking to quickly rehab it, and they're looking to quickly sell it, get all their money out, plus a profit, and then move on to the next one. And, you know, as a passive real estate investor, they may hold the property for 5-10 years. An active real estate investor, boy, they're getting nervous if they hold a property for 5 months. They want in and they want out. They want to capture their gains, regain their investment, and move on. So the point here is, you know, you see some very common parallels for the purpose of illustration between an active and a passive real estate investor, and you can equate them to an active and a passive stock market investor. And this may help you figure out where you lie as a new investor, what appeals to you, what your objectives are, and how you want to approach your investment. Because as you said, once you identify what type of investor you are, or you need to be, or want to be, or can be, we dictate the types of properties that you purchase or invest in. So today I thought we'd talk a little bit about the passive investor. And really, let's cover two areas. Let's talk first about a little bit more about that passive investor, dive a little bit deeper just to further explore what that means and what it might mean to the new investor. And then secondly, we can talk about passive entry. Okay, if I've categorized myself as a passive investor, gosh, how do I get started? What's my first step? So in terms of that passive investor, let's peel it back a little more just to see if it's where you as a new investor might categorize yourself. As I alluded to earlier, passive investors, they like that long-term approach. You're going to look at properties that you're comfortable with buying and holding. And, you know, long-term, that definition is at the discretion of the investor. No, long-term, it could be a 3-year buy-and-hold strategy. It could be a 30-year buy-and-hold strategy. It really depends on you, and that's the beauty of it. You can pick and choose, you know, your definition of long-term for you. If you're young and you're starting now to build your retirement, well, you may be buying a property and holding it for tens of years, or perhaps you're further along in your professional life or in your life in general, and you may be looking to buy and hold a property for a much shorter time period. Either way is fine, and either way you'd still consider yourself a passive investor if you're looking at buy and hold investments. Another key factor to look at as you're kind of evaluating yourself and your real estate investment approach is cash flow is king with the passive investor. A passive real estate investor, though the lure of quick and easy money like in a fix and flip scenario, is very attractive, the passive investor is equally attracted to cash flow. And quite often, they may even be more attractive to cash flow. And cash flow is more of a long-term approach to capturing your profits. It's that monthly income or cash flow that is generated from that property as you collect rent each month and then turn around and pay off your expenses. Cash flow is what's left. And cash flow comes every month as long as that property is occupied and performing. And it is almost an annuity. It keeps coming every month. As long as you or someone else is managing that property, you're going to generate an annuity, so to speak, or perpetual cash flow each month. And this may not be very much money, let it be known. You know, this, you may be talking in terms of hundreds of dollars versus thousands of dollars, but over time, it's a very comfortable, consistent, safe source of monthly income that you can accumulate, and it will continue to grow as you pay down the mortgage and your interest becomes less and your principal becomes more in those payments. You're continuing to build and build and build, and ultimately that property is paid off, and that monthly cash flow then explodes at the point in time you no longer have a mortgage to pay, but you're still collecting the monthly rent. At that point in time, that's when you really realize the power of monthly cash flow. And so cash flow is king with that passive investor. And then also a couple other characteristics, minimal time and commitment for that passive investor. If you're a new part-time investor, you may not have a lot of time. You may have a full-time career. You may not be able to go off and manage a rehab project and contractors. So perhaps the passive side of it is more appealing to you. Hey, I can buy a property, I can fix it, I can put a tenant in it, and you know what? It's a little more appeasing to me in my time schedule because I'm not going to need to run over there every day and check on a contractor or pick a paint color. So maybe that passive aspect is much more appealing to you than that active aspect of a fix and flipper. And then finally, too, the final point before we close is that passive investor, keep in mind, there's a capital requirement here. When you buy these properties, you've got to be in a position to be able to invest some of your capital into those projects and be prepared. It's going to be a while before you get that capital back out. Meaning, if you take a traditional approach, plan on putting 20% down on that property. Well, if you buy a $100,000 house, that's a $20,000 capital investment that you're not going to get back, you know, 2 months later when you fix and flip it. That's not your strategy. Your strategy is to buy and hold. You can get that money back out, but it's going to take you a while. You know, you may have a refi strategy where you're going to season or hold the property for a year and then ultimately refinance it and get your capital investment back out so you can go buy your next house. But just be prepared. It's a long-term strategy that requires a long-term commitment in terms of your capital. And so in closing, you know, think about what if these things appeal to you. We'll talk more about active investors later, but if these objectives, goals, criteria, or qualities or characteristics appeal to you, then you might want to look at buying and holding, managing them yourself, or having someone else manage them. That's an opportunity to become even more passive. You can even look at turnkey rental providers who will literally buy the property, show you the property, sell you the property, manage the property. Or at the ultimate extreme of passive investing, you may even want to use your IRA, and one of the IRA companies could do literally everything for you. Think about where you lie, see if you're that passive investor, and if not, we'll talk later about the characteristics of an active investor.
All excellent points, all points that address the distinctions between active and passive investing, and based on your definitions plural, and the information you have provided, Kevin, there's clarity there for people who can set their goals and conclude that they are either active or passive investors and make their choices accordingly. Kevin, as always, a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Lewis.